Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, everybody. Sunday morning in the Delaware Valley with Ray Dinger. I'm Glenn Mack. We're out there chatting with Sunny Hill, having a grand old time. And sorry about that. We didn't realize that the whistle had blown, Ray. The game has begun.
Apparently so.
Which is apropos because the Sixers kind of had the same issue yesterday.
Yeah, we were about as prepared as they were yesterday.
All right, hold on. Let's get my notes. Here we go. Ray, how you doing? Nice to see you.
Good to see you.
All right. So, Ray, this was just a bad one from the start. From the very first quarter when you had a crowd of 20,000 people who knew that the Sixers were off. It ends with those said people booing, those who were left, who hadn't left, they departed from the arena early, as the Sixers lose game one of the playoffs, 111-102, to the Brooklyn Nets. So, Ray, let's review the process here. You know what? I absolutely did not mean to say that word. Let's review the...
I thought you did that on purpose.
No, I didn't. Let's review the bidding, shall we? The biggest issue to me was Ben Simmons, who yesterday morning as I was driving into work, I heard a radio broadcaster, not Howard Eskin, by the way, referred to Ben Simmons as a generational talent. You've heard that before?
Way too often.
Yeah, right? He's been anointed a superstar long before he's ever been a superstar. He's a very intriguing, talented, physically gifted player who does some things marvelously. Mm-hmm. And at 6'10", is kind of a freak of the game, except that he's not a generational talent. Yesterday, he got nine points, a lot of them at the very end. I don't want to call it garbage time, but when, you know, he just got open underneath. Easy layups, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and was minus 21 against the Brooklyn Nets, Ray. So before we get to what he had to say after the game, I just would like you to kind of assess the game he had for me.
Well, the game for the Sixers broke down in a lot of areas. I don't want to just point my finger at one guy, but... If you wanted to talk about the guy who I think is most obvious, it would probably be Simmons. He wasn't alone in terms of culpability, but it was the most glaring, I thought. And it's so funny because it was so much the fulfillment of exactly what the Nets had talked about coming into this. You know, coming in as one of the guys on their team was saying, "Hey, listen, we're just going to dare him to shoot, and we're not even going to guard him when he's out there. We're just going to back off and let him shoot."
Think about that.
And sure enough, they did. And it's no surprise. I mean, he's been that kind of player all along. But we saw during the regular season, you can kind of get away with that because teams don't play a lot of defense, and it's easier to get to the rim. But in the playoffs last year, it came back to haunt them. And now here they are one game into these playoffs, and it's come back to haunt them. I mean, you've got a guy here who's a first pick in the draft, the quote-unquote generational player who can't take a shot that eighth graders in the CYO basketball are taking every day.
It's astounding. Channel 6 put up a tweet this morning where they broke down some of his stats from the regular season. He only shot 32% on jumpers all year. Mm-hmm. You move him more than 6 feet away from the basket, he can't make a shot. He's the worst free throw shooter among all NBA point guards this year, according to this thing. From Channel 6. He's got the worst.
Certainly true yesterday.
He's got the worst percentage on catch and shoot. Least likely to shoot on a catch and shoot. And 20% field goal on pull-up jumpers. So, all of that happens yesterday when, as you say, Dudley of the Nets basically says, "We're not going to guard this guy."
Right.
And he...
Why would you?
And think about this. If you're an elite NBA player and somebody says, Dinger, we're not even going to guard him. Wouldn't your goal be to make him pay?
You would think.
Instead, he shies away. I mean, he appears intimidated and just retracts into a tiny shell and had nothing to say about it, although, Ray, after the game he had something to say because, as you know, the fans booed him during the game.
Right.
They booed everybody, but they booed him more than anyone.
I think they booed the collective effort, but they certainly were booing him, there's no doubt.
And this is what he said after the game. So, Ray, I come to you as a guy who's been covering sports in this town for a long time, and you've probably seen players before decide, you know what, if the fans are going to boo me, I'm going to go after the fans. How does that tend to work?
Never a good strategy. I don't think it's a good strategy anywhere to turn on the fans. I don't know if that plays well in any city, but it's particularly bad in this city because people take offense and people have long memories here. And, that was – if there was any way that Ben Simmons could have compounded his bad day, he certainly did by those comments. When the same question was posed to Joel Embiid after the game, Joel Embiid gave the perfect answer. He said, listen, you know, they didn't come here to boo. They came here to support us, but they're booing because we played so poorly. Bingo. That's the right answer.
Yeah. Jimmy Butler said essentially the same thing as Embiid also. Right. They get it. They're mature. They get it. And by the way, Ben Simmons, he earned all of those boos. Those were not cheap, easy, gratuitous boos. He earned that. He was tentative. I would dare say he played lazy. He played scared. He whatever you want to say, he played that way, and I think he earned those boos. I'm not a big advocate of booing. I very, very rarely boo myself. I mean, almost never.
Right.
But I can't criticize people for booing him. I know they booed early, and, you know, you're thinking, maybe show some patience. But their instincts of booing the way he played were accurate instincts.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's not a guy that plays with a whole lot of emotion anyway. So when he's having a bad day and the team is having a bad day, when the team's playing well, his demeanor, people will say, look how cool he is. When you're having a bad day, his demeanor will suggest to you he looks disinterested.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot depends on what's on the scoreboard. But didn't you think, I'll just give you my take on this.
Uh-huh.
As badly as they played in the first half, and they came out and they looked way off their game. They looked to me very tight compared to Brooklyn, who came in very loose.
Yeah.
And clearly a team that nobody expected to be in the playoffs, so they're playing with nothing to lose. They come into this game, nobody thinks they can win, and they just take it right to the Sixers right away. So they're playing very loose. The Sixers look very tight and obviously very out of sync because of not having played their regular lineup for much of the last month. But you know, Butler hits that big three at the buzzer to end the half, and it gets them within eight. You know, and they go bouncing off the court, you know, fist pumping, and the crowd's cheering. At that point, don't you think it's, okay, they played lousy for the first half, but, okay, they've turned the momentum here.
They clearly have enough talent to win.
Yeah, and they'll come out in the second half, and they'll just blow Brooklyn off the court. I mean, I certainly thought that as great as Butler played in the first half, I think, aha, that's the shot. That flipped the turn. That turned the momentum. Sixers come out the second half. They're going to take charge of the game. Didn't happen.
Well, they shot 3-for-25 from three-pointers. And in the NBA these days, the way the game is played, if you can't hit three-pointers, you die.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the other aspect is Embiid really struggled. I have no criticism for Joel Embiid. I thought he really toughed it out. He gamed it. He tried pregame with the brace. He decided it wasn't going to work with the brace. He took the brace off. He shot 1-for-9 in the first half. He shot some three-pointers, wasn't really working. But he played very tough defense, and he tried to hang in as long as he can. Now, they're only going to win this series if Joel Embiid is able to be effective. And you hope on Monday, tomorrow, he's more effective. Or you hope, you know, after that he's able to play. It was troublesome to see him struggling that much.
Mm-hmm.
And not surprising, but that's an uh-oh. All right.
I absolutely agree. And all the stuff that we have been saying leading up to this about, you know, a lot of their key players weren't playing down the stretch. They weren't playing their regular lineup down the stretch. They didn't have their, as Brett Brown refers to it, Sixers 3.0, that team, you know, that they traded for hasn't been together. Going into the playoffs, they really aren't coming in with a lot of momentum or a lot of continuity. You figure, well, how big a deal is that really going to be? Well, you saw yesterday, it's a very big deal, especially when you're playing a Brooklyn team that has way overachieved and played, came into the playoffs playing their best basketball. I mean, they came in here playing their best basketball. The Sixers did not. And, boy, I mean, it couldn't have been more in evidence than it was yesterday.
And now they're going to believe in themselves.
Yeah, exactly. But Brooklyn won the game because they deserved to win it. I mean, they came out, they jumped on the Sixers early, and they controlled the game the whole way. They earned that win.
Sixers don't play defense. They can't play defense. They've never played defense, right? Billy Lang was the defensive coordinator. He left. It's like, oh, well, the defense is going to get better. No, I don't think so. It's not going to get better. We'll get into a lot of the other aspects of it. J.J. Redick had a horrible game, which kind of goes back to how he played in the playoffs last year. Tobias Harris disappeared. We'll talk about all that. But let's get to one of the other kerfuffles that kind of arose late in the game and became a big deal after the game, because during the game, ESPN cameras and Dolores Burke kind of looking at the Sixers bench, and they see Amir Johnson and Joel Embiid huddled together, and here's their report during the game. Indeed, it was a very bad look. Now, after the game, there was some explanations about it. First of all, the Sixers find it is a cell phone on the bench is a violation of the NBA operations manual. A violation results in a suspension or fine. Amir Johnson was fined an undisclosed amount by the Sixers. He was not available for comment, but he later said, I apologize for having my phone on the bench in today's game. I take full responsibility and will accept the consequences of my actions. I also apologize to the teammates, the Sixers organization, and the fans for the distraction this has caused. One report after the game said he has a daughter who is sick. The degree of sick, I don't know, but in one I heard ill, in one I heard emergency. I can't tell you, but that he was getting updates on his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Is that mitigated for you?
No, because you're violating a rule. I mean, you know, you can't have it on the bench. Simple as that. And the other part is, I'm not questioning the validity of you know, the statement about his daughter's health. But even if that's true, I mean, the moment you catch on TV is not a moment where you're talking about a sick daughter. I mean, you got the two guys who are looking at their cell phones and laughing. And I think we were just talking to Sonny Hill on his way out the door, and his view of this was kind of my view of it is you leave your cell phone with one of the team attendants and you just say, keep checking this and let me know if there's anything, if there's any updates, if there's anything I need. If that's really what it's about, mm-hmm. if that's really what it's about, you're just trying to keep up on your daughter's situation. The team has a million interns and people that are running around. Just say, here's my cell phone. Look, keep checking in. If there's anything that I should be aware of, you come down, tap me on the shoulder, and I'll come back and I'll check it out. He's got to know better than to do what he did on the sidelines, and it makes everything look bad. It makes the coach look like he's got no control. It makes the players look like they don't care. I mean, on a day when everything else could have possibly gone wrong, guess what? You found a way to top it.
Yeah. Everything about that game, as you just said, was as bad as it could get. Your best player is injured and trying to play through it and was in some ways effective, in some ways not. I mean, Joel Embiid can dominate on defense when he's got a half of a leg. He can still do that, but his offense, I know he scored 20-something points, but, you know, when you start out shooting 1-for-9 and your team's down the whole game, it's a problem. Two of your players just disappear. Three mm-hmm. of your players just disappear. You got one guy, Jimmy Butler, playing, and that's the only starter who's playing.
And he played his butt off.
Oh, he did. He was the only one. And then you do have this embarrassment. It really is an embarrassment. It makes, as you said, it makes the coach look bad. It makes everybody else look bad. And by the way, the coach, man, did he get outcoached?
Oh God, yeah, really bad.
I mean, all those people who say Brett Brown is not the guy moving forward, they got a lot of ammo from yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, he clearly did. I mean, the coach from the Nets who. Probably aren't 10 people who know his name. I mean, just outcoached him up one side and down the other. Now, the players bear some of that responsibility. But, yeah, I mean, the fact that they start that badly and have no answers for anything that Brooklyn's doing, defensively or offensively, it really looks bad. And, you know, now you're in a situation where, okay, you got one day of practice now to try and repair the damage, both tactical and psychological, and get yourself back on the floor to play the game and win the game on Monday. But in terms, I mean, the Brooklyn team, who probably came into this with a fair degree of confidence anyway, I mean, their confidence is through the roof.
And as you're doing this, you still have the uncertainty of what's going to be with Embiid.
Right.
Right? It's not like game two, he's going to be the old Joel Embiid.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this isn't like you got beat on a buzzer beater at the end, and it's sort of like, oh, well, that got away. You just got beat for 48 minutes is basically what happened here.
At home.
And how do you turn that around?
Yeah, at home is really bad. So, Reg, yesterday I told you going in I was 80% confident they would win this series. My confidence drops to 67%.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You were 70% confident going into yesterday. Where are you now?
55.
Ooh. That's pretty close to a coin flip, right?
Yeah. Well, after you saw what you saw yesterday, how could you be more confident than that? I've told you for 2 weeks that I didn't share the confidence that everyone else shared about this team because I just felt like it's not as simple as just putting all these guys together and doing the old quote-unquote flip the switch. It doesn't work that way. And you saw yesterday that was true. And I think you also saw yesterday that Brooklyn's a lot better than I think a lot of people thought.
Indeed. All right, let's stick in one phone call here off the top. We'll get Austin. Austin, you're on with Ray and Glenn. How are you feeling this morning?
I was at the game yesterday. My dad got tickets from his buddy, and we were five rows back of the floor, and it was a high-energy building. As soon as Embiid comes out, the entire place just erupts. Because you know we all had it in our minds that he was probably going to play. It was probably just more of a more of a smoke screen than anything that he was doubtful because he's done it before.
Uh-huh.
But they can't as soon as the Knicks went on that 9-0 run to end the first quarter, the game was over from there. The Sixers never really got back into it. But I think more of a liability than Ben Simmons, to be honest, is J.J. Redick because. When one of the first plays of the game, Redick was on D'Angelo Russell. Russell blew right by him and got an easy layup. They switched him on to Joe Harris because Harris is more of a spot up shooter, and it was a good counter move, and it was fine. But as soon as the Nets put in Dinwiddie or Caris LeVert, there was nobody you could just stick Redick on, because there was nobody
you could cover.
Who couldn't score.
He fouls out. He raced 6 fouls in 22 minutes for Redick yesterday.
Right.
And he continues to have kind of a shooting slump. If he's missing key shots and he's getting toasted on defense,
right.
It's a problem.
Yeah. If he's not hitting the three-pointer, then he's incapable of giving you anything defensively. He will always be a defensive liability if the other team chooses to attack him. I mean, the only way he's contributing to you is if he's hitting the outside shot, which he does. I mean, that's why he's been in the league. That's why he's had success in the league. But that's what he is. And on a day when he's not hitting the three-pointer, you know he's going to get lit up at the other end.
Yeah, they're going right at him.
That was clearly Brooklyn's strategy, and it worked perfectly well.
Wouldn't you be embarrassed if you were the guy in a sport where it's like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to aim all of our offense right at Dinger. We're going through Dinger.
I know that feeling. I know that feeling.
Remember when Mamula played here, they used to, one of his many nicknames was Highway 59 or Route 59. And this was out because if he was in the game on running plays, which was not all the time, it's like, oh, we're going to go this one, Route 59, Highway 59.
Mm. The one I remember.
You don't want to be that guy.
Yeah. I always felt that Mamula got a little bit of a bad rap. I think he was a better player than people give him credit for.
Well,
he got overdrafted, but I thought he was a better player. The one that I always remember about having the bullseye on him was Izell Jenkins.
Yeah. Well, he had the nickname of nicknames.
Of Toast. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was playing on the wrong team because the other cornerback was Eric Allen, and nobody wanted to throw the ball near Eric Allen.
Yeah.
But so every time they wanted to throw it, they were going to throw it at Izell.
Yeah, well, that's J.J. Redick is earning the nickname Toast, isn't he?
Yep.
888-729-9494. We'll get to those Phillies later in the show. They had a bad one last night as well. A couple other things we want to get to, and we would love to hear from you. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now. Sunday morning on 94 WIP. It's Joel Embiid saying exactly the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
The fans come. They want the game to be fun. They root for us. They come to cheer. He didn't say it, but was left, which is apparent, is if they don't, it's something we did, not something they did. Young Ben Simmons, and this will disappear. Unless Ben Simmons exacerbates it either through bad play or making more statements, this will disappear within a day or two.
Yeah.
The cell phone issue will disappear by the second or third game.
Unless it becomes a thing.
But, I mean, if the players are smart, they just kind of say we were wrong and that's it. But what's troublesome in the long term is this team, which has so much individual talent, might be flawed.
Mm-hmm.
And this coach might not be the guy. And that's, I think, where people have reason to be worried. All right, let's talk to some people. 888-729-9494. Hassan joins us. Hassan, what did you think of the game yesterday?
Oh, man, you just hit it on the nose with your last statement before you came to me. This coach might not be the guy.
Yeah.
All I watched, I felt like I was watching, I felt like I had a throwback. I called to talk to Mr. Hill because he would know exactly what I was talking about. I'm sure you guys have heard of it, but you might not know firsthand, 16 in Susquehanna. I felt like I was watching that, though. So is the growing up, we had a play called open.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically isolation. Pick the guy in front of you. He can't guard you, and I'm going right past him. And that's what I saw yesterday.
Yeah, the Sixers continue to give up baskets on the same. They haven't been able to guard a pick and roll all year. There are certain things that they just their defense has not been able to do.
It's not even pick and roll. It's just straight. Well, it's pick and roll because it's a switch, but it's just getting you to switch because I'm getting the guy in front of me,
mm-hmm. And
I'm going to ice on him, and I'm going right past him. Like, Ben didn't shoot 3-for-25. Now, don't get me wrong. Ben being unaggressive is a problem, but you can't blame yesterday on Ben. Y'all started this show off going in on Ben, and I'm glad that caller directed it. Like, J.J. is a problem out there. If you're not shooting the ball, and everyone knows you're a defensive liability. I don't understand why they run a two-man game with J.J. and Embiid and not Jimmy and Embiid or Tobias and Embiid. Why every time Ben is the point guard, but it's like he crosses half court and becomes hot potato with the ball.
Mm-hmm. He does, and that's actually a pretty good way to put it. He wanted nothing to do. I mean, listen, he still distributes. He still passes. He's you know, but he... When you have a guy who everybody knows is going to shoot the basketball, unless he's right next to the basket, you have a problem.
Yeah.
Particularly when the other guys aren't making shots.
Yeah. When, you know, you have a guy who's going to handle the ball more than anybody else, who's going to get open shots, but he's a 30% shooter from 15 feet and beyond, that's a problem. I mean, that's a very fundamental hole in your offense. And, again, during the regular season, it doesn't always come into play because of the nature of the way the game is played in the regular season. The teams don't play a whole lot of defense, so it's easier for Ben to do what he wants to do, which is take it to the basket. But in the playoffs, when teams game plan for you and they play better defense and they take those lanes away and they have a strategy which is clearly sag and make him shoot and he can't do that, then you're playing 4-on-5. And it makes it harder for him to make the other plays because it makes it harder for him to get the ball to the other players because everybody's in a double team.
And by the way, Tobias Harris,
yes,
who I loved as an addition when they got him, I thought was really going to be a terrific improvement there. He took seven. He played 41 minutes yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He took seven shots. Made two. And I mean, he's a guy. You're not. Well, I'm saying the same thing again. You're not going to be able to win if Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons and J.J. Redick are not part of your offense, you're just not going to win. Now, optimistically, I'm thinking those three guys can't all play as poorly as they played yesterday.
That's if you're a Sixers fan, that's what you're consoling yourself with.
You can't shoot 3-for-25 again. You just can't.
Right.
And the Nets yesterday, I think they shot like 90% plus on free throws.
Exactly.
Sixers shot about 70% on free throws.
That's the other thing.
Right. So if that all evens out, like, okay, we're still okay. That's why I'm 67%.
You look at I came away from, I'm looking at the numbers and I'm thinking, okay, the Sixers are 29-for-42 from the foul line.
Whereas they got to the line.
Whereas the Nets, yes, they did. Whereas the Nets are 24-for-26. Sixers couldn't make a big foul shot. The Nets couldn't miss.
Yep.
And the Sixers are 3-for-25, which is historically bad from 3-point. And Brooklyn's actually shooting the ball pretty good from out there, 11-for-26. But, you know, so will that all change? Is that are you likely to have that kind of disparity two games in a row? Probably not. But the one thing, so if you're a Sixers fan, you can kind of console yourself with that. Well, you know, we're certainly not going to be that bad in those areas two games in a row at home. So it's realistic to think that, you know, that can close the deficit. But the one area where I don't think it's going to change, which I think will be a problem throughout the series, and the Sixers have to work around this, is every night the Brooklyn bench is going to way outscore your bench. And that's mm-hmm. and that's a problem. So the Brooklyn bench outscored the Sixers bench 2-1. And I think that could happen every single game here.
And over
it becomes more, even more incumbent that your starting five completely dominates.
Correct.
Because once they go to the bench, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Although Boban played well yesterday.
Yeah, he did. In his minutes, he played good.
And they ought to play Zaire Smith a little more. I want to see a little more out of him. I don't know he's going to score a lot, but I think he's of value out there. Dre joins us. Dre, you're on with Rain Glenn.
Hey, fellas, man. How y'all doing? First of all, I'd like to say I love y'all guys, man.
Thank you, Dre.
I used to listen to y'all in a joint. Even when I came home, man, y'all like my Folgers, man. I wake up to y'all, bro. My girl get mad at me, though. That's real rap. My girl get mad because I listen to y'all more than I listen to her.
Well, thank you. We're glad we got you through that stretch, too.
Yeah, hey, man, listen, man. Like, everybody in Greater Ford, Huntington, everywhere, man. Like, in the joint, we all listen to y'all every Sunday,
there
bro.
You go, right?
Like, every Sunday, man.
They take
every,
ratings
especially
now,
when the
right?
Eagles come on. But I would like to say this, though. This is what I like to say. I went back to Ben Simmons' old LSU days.
Mm-hmm.
He was like that, man. He was the way he's playing right now, tentative, scared. He was just like that in LSU. I'm not taking nothing away from him. I love him, man. I love his game. But he's the same way. We need a point guard. We really do need a point guard. That Markelle Fultz trade was a disaster.
Yeah, the draft,
you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I remember before I had took D'Angelo Fox, or let alone the boy that Boston got. I forget his name, but he was like
Tatum.
That. Tatum. They don't have that killer Kobe instinct. You don't even have to have that killer Kobe instinct, but this Iverson instinct. The will to win. With Allen B, they seem lost, like really lost. And I bleed Sixers, Eagles, Flyers, then Phillies. But I'm just saying, man, like it's sick. I'm watching that game. It was sickening to me, man. I don't know, man. If we make Butler bring the ball up, or and then J.J. Redick, like what's wrong with him? He's not even shooting the way he shoots.
Dre,
like,
we got to run, but this was a good call. You're taking care of yourself, right?
Yeah, you too, man. I appreciate
all right, buddy.
Y'all, man.
Be well.
All right.
Thank you, Drake.
Right. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Take the audience wherever, and he seems like he's doing well now. So
it does.
I'm good. So,
listen,
coming up at 11, because this is going to kill me if we do this all day, you're going to give us a Ray Dinger draft update, right?
Oh, okay.
So,
we're moving it up in the show here.
11. Yeah, I'm going to need it.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, it is kind of trending that way. You're right.
I'm going to need it.
Today is day two of the sleepers.
That's what I wanted to know. Well, give me a preview of the preview.
Well, preview of the preview is I am going to give you day two of the sleepers, and I'm going to give you another wide receiver because you like wide receivers.
Love them.
I'm going to give you a hybrid player who was a fullback in college, but, of course, the NFL doesn't use fullbacks, but I think this guy could be a very good tight end.
Okay.
And I'm going to, since I have sort of ignored defense to this point, I'm going to give you a sleeper defensive lineman.
This is good. Okay. This is going to get me through because – at some point, we also got to talk Phillies, and that's not very pretty.
No.
And the Sixers certainly deserves more conversation today. We'd love to hear from more people. 888-729-9494. But I'm going to start hitting myself over the head with a hammer if I just got to do this all day.
All right.
So, okay. So we'll get that going at 11. 888-729-9494. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now on 94 WIP. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now. Hey, Ray, a couple things here. We have Phillies tickets to give away. Forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
So let me, hold on, let me do the read here, and then we'll figure this out. Pair of tickets, Phillies, Mets, this coming Wednesday.
It's an afternoon game.
It is, 1 o'clock start. The old business, do they still call it business person special?
I don't think so.
It used to be a businessman special.
Yes.
Then it became a business person special.
Right. I don't even think they call it that anymore.
Okay. Senior Stroll the Bases Day.
Yep.
There you go. Any fans 55 and older invited to go onto the field, stroll the bases immediately following the game. For tickets, go to phillies.com. I remember one day I was at a game and hanging around afterward writing something, and it was Stroll the Bases Day, and this one guy came out, and he was not young, okay? I'd guess late 70s into 80s.
Okay.
And then let him on the field. You know, everybody's kind of slowly, they say, stroll the bases.
Right. Right?
This guy decided he was Pete Rose. He ran all the way around, picked up speed, too. I mean, it was, you know, faster than I'm going to run at that age, and ended up sliding into home.
Wow.
Got a standing ovation kind of leaving. I got the sense the Phillies officials were not particularly pleased with it. Either they thought he would hurt himself or it's just not the way they wanted it.
But right.
Thrilled the press box. We loved it.
I like that. Yeah, that's good.
Hey, this was his one chance to be on the field. He was gonna make it work.
Well, then, how do you go into home? Hook slide or head first?
No, hook slide.
Okay.
He did not do a head first. It was the old traditional, like when you see Ty Cobb sliding in 1919. It was like that kind of slide.
Jackie Robinson getting under Yogi Berra.
Yeah, raised a little dust.
Yeah, there you go.
It was good. Also, Ray, I just want to tell people, if you're looking to do something good and fun on Tuesday, I've got a charity thing going on that I'd be delighted to see people at. It is at the Town Tap, which is one of the Conshohocken Brewing Company establishments that I own a little piece of, which is a Darby and Benedict in Havertown.
Fine place.
Thank you. Yeah, you've been there a few times.
And my daughter, son-in-law, and the two boys who live not far away go there quite often.
Yeah, your grandson wanted to go for his birthday, which I appreciate immensely.
And they love it. Yeah, it's like their favorite place.
Yeah, by the way, very kid-friendly place. If you want to come out with your kids, by all means, you're invited to from 5:30 to 10 on Tuesday. It is a give-back night, which means 20% of all sales goes to the charity, and the charity is the Philadelphia Children's Alliance. And the Philadelphia Children's Alliance rescues, counsels, helps abused kids. It's a terrific charity. Delighted to be part of it. We got some auction items. The station was nice enough to give me a couple of Phillies tickets for an upcoming game. We're going to have some Eagles memorabilia. Going to auction that off all to help that charity. So just come out, drink a beer, eat some cheese curds, have a good time Tuesday from 5:30 to 10 to benefit the Philadelphia Children's Alliance at the Town Tap. All right, going to sneak in a call here. So, Ray, with the tickets.
Yes.
You want to be the judge? You want to make Steve McFadden the judge?
Today? Oh, why don't we let Steve
You want to defer? Okay, so Steve, our producer, Steve McFadden. Steve, when there is a good call and you're the judge, during that call, toward the end of the call, you just say you get the tickets. All right, you come on the air and tell that person. All right.
All right, Steven, no fair asking if they went to Penn State. Okay, we don't want any of that Happy Valley partiality here. We want this to be purely objective.
I'm never biased.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, I'll forget you said that.
All right, let's say hi to Joe. Joe, you're on 94 WIP. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Ray and Glenn, always a pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
Listen, yesterday's game was probably something that I don't want to talk about after today's over, but you're going to get more of the same for the entire series, and everyone needs to see that, know that their guard play is quick. We don't have half-court defense or half-court offense in a playoff setting. It's play we described with Boston last year.
Yeah.
That's why we're struggling this year. Ben Simmons yesterday is our point guard, but Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, and TJ brought the ball up 80% of the time yesterday, and I don't understand that at all. I don't understand Mike Scott taking 8 three-pointers. I don't understand the offense in the half court of what we do, why we do it, and how we do it.
Mm-hmm.
We set up no plays to get J.J. Redick open for a shot. Like, everything he had to create himself. And he never had a wide-open look. And it's frustrating for a shooting guard not to have a play set up for him. Can anybody explain to me what Brett Brown does in the half-court offense to get the matchups that we need and to get players open shots?
No. I think it's a fair point.
Ben Simmons is our coach on the court. I thought he was, but it looked like yesterday that Jimmy Butler said, screw this. I'm tired of watching nonsense and just decide to take the game over. But you can't play like that for 4 quarters and expect to carry a team when you're going to tire out and fizzle. So if the Sixers can't defend people dribbling the ball one-on-one in the half-court set, and you have Embiid, who's not going to be healthy. You can see him limping around, and he did everything he possibly could yesterday, wearing the cape as Superman.
Yep.
And you have your three players of your starting five who don't have a clue of how to get their own shot when they have court game, which is Tobias Harris, J.J. Redick, and Ben Simmons. All three of them can't get their own shot in the half-court game. I don't understand if any fan can see not the same thing happening. What I saw yesterday was the Nets played as a team and the Sixers played as individuals. And when you're down one game to none and you don't have a cohesive unit, especially in the half-court set, defensively and offensively, it's just going to get worse.
I think it's not just the coach.
I understand.
I think it circles back to the coach because you're trying to make – you've got to figure something out to make this chemistry work. And he didn't, but I think his point's fair. And when they made all these moves this year, I like many people, thought, you know what? This is great. They added Butler. They added Tobias Harris.
Yes.
You know, you needed that starting lineup for the playoffs. You need the big three, whatever you want to call it, and they're going to have it. And they played together so rarely that we weren't certain. And certainly yesterday, again, Embiid kind of half played. But you don't see how the pieces fit together.
Right. Now, here's the question is this. The question is it a matter of the fact that they haven't played together enough to develop the kind of continuity, chemistry, flow that you need to play effective team basketball? Is it just simply that the lack of familiarity and time playing together, which if you could rectify, if you win the series and move on, you practice together, you play together, maybe you can get that all clicking? Or is it that we way, way overrate it, the composition of the team you put together? And it's not a question of playing together more. It's a question of the fact that maybe they don't fit together as well as we thought they did.
I don't know.
That's the one I can't really answer.
Ask me in a week.
You know, that's the one I can't really answer. I mean, I really thought... And our caller is kind of suggesting it's the latter. You know, up until now, I've kind of been thinking it's the former. It's okay, you've got really good players, and you've got a really good five. They just haven't played together long enough to be really cohesive about moving the ball around and getting their shots and playing as a team, because it ultimately is a team game. But maybe we way over evaluated the pieces that they brought in here, and maybe it isn't just a matter of time. Maybe it's just the fact that, you know what, this mix isn't as good as we thought it was. I don't know. All I know is that Redick is a guy who, if he's not hitting a shot, can't help you because he can't defend.
No, he's horrible on defense, and they obviously target. In the regular season, teams don't put, you know, as much scouting, as much effort into it and so on, so you can kind of hide him in the postseason. They're going to go right at him for every game.
Right. Well, sure, and this team certainly will because they have the matchups. They have the backcourt that can do that.
They do. I haven't watched a lot of New Jersey. See, there you go. I haven't watched a lot of Brooklyn Nets basketball that I can tell you, you know, up and down how they are. But they've got this figured out. They're a bad matchup for the Sixers, and just got to pull through. 888-729-9494. We will continue talking about that travesty of mockery, of a sham, of a fraud, of a horrible basketball game that we all watched yesterday. And coming up at the top of the hour, which is moments away, Ray Dinger is going to do his college football, the NFL draft breakdown. He's going to be looking at some sleepers today. We're going to talk about, in addition to that, a particular player who you looked at for the Eagles like a month ago, you think may not be there for them. So we'll get into that as well. By the way, what are you doing at 9 o'clock tonight, Ray?
Don't have any real plans.
No, there you go. Turn on HBO. All right, that's all I'm saying.
Oh, how am I going to catch up with this series? It's what, 6 years in the making?
67 episodes.
Okay, yeah, I'm a little behind the curve here.
Steve McFadden, you with me tonight?
Oh, Steve's absolutely there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Have you prepped at all for this season?
Yeah.
Did you? I went back. I watched last season, and I watched 8 to 10 other. You know, like the Battle of the Bastards and Hardhorn and just some of the great episodes over time.
I've been watching a whole bunch of recaps, so yeah. I think I'm ready. I have my shirt on today.
Oh, I didn't even Tyrion. See. Let me say.
I drink and I know things. Oh. Tyrion Lannister.
There you go. There you go. It's going to be great, Ray. You could care less. 888-729-9494. Hey, are you tired of dealing with those old inefficient windows and doors in your house? Maybe it's time to go Gaida. How about that drafty, beat-up-looking entry door? You paint it over more times you can count. Go Gaida. If you need added protection from the elements with a new storm door, go Gaida. And what about that sliding patio door, the garage door that you've been meaning to replace? Go Gaida. Whatever your home improvement needs are, I suggest you go Gaida with the great people at Gaida Door and Window. To help you get your project started, Gaida is offering 20% off all windows and doors while allowing you to start your project with no money down up to 3 full years to pay it off interest-free. That's right. Receive 20% instant savings with the luxury of paying off your project interest-free for up to 36 months. Offers for a limited time only. So what are you waiting for? It's time you finally go Gaida. Call today. Schedule a free in-home estimate or in-castle estimate, if that applies, at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit them at goguida.com. That's go, G-U-I-D-A.com. Ooh, Ray, cool jazz. Ray Dinger, Glenn Macna. All right, Ray, I have a food question for you. And we're going to take one more Sixers call from Wes, and then we're going to get into a little NFL draft because I need that.
Okay.
So here's the food question. This is a personal thing. You and I were talking during the break, which reminded me of this, about the treasure that is the Reading Terminal Market in this city. Because
love it.
A local media guy, who I won't bring him up because he took enough abuse for it, put out a tweet earlier this week, says, you know what's overrated in Philadelphia? Cheesesteaks in the Reading Terminal Market.
Oh, could not be more wrong.
Cheesesteaks is a debatable thing, and that's actually something I'm going to get into you
that's a personal taste
in just
thing.
A moment. The Reading Terminal Market is one of the treasures of the city. I've lived here since 1987, and it was one of the first things I discovered when I used to work down at the Enquirer. You know, you could walk there. It's like, oh, this is great. You lived here your whole life. The Reading Terminal Market's, I would put on the list of the five best things about Philadelphia.
I would agree with that. I love the Reading Terminal Market. I mean, to me, it's one of those things that, you know, you just sort of plan a whole day around it. You know, tomorrow we're going to go to the Reading Terminal Market. We're going to go and we're going to go early in the morning, and we're going to have the blueberry pancakes at the Pennsylvania Dutch, the Dutch eating place.
Been there.
Start off with the blueberry pancakes and the turkey bacon, and then we're just going to go shopping, and we're just going to go from stall to stall, and we're going to buy the meat, and we're going to buy the produce, and we're going to buy this, and we're going to buy that, and we're going to cap it off on our way out with a Bassett's ice cream cone. Yeah, I mean, you could spend a whole day at the Reading Terminal Market, and I mean, it's been there forever. It changes, you know. Different purveyors come and some go. But it's an absolutely wonderful place. And the thing I love about it is so, for lack of a better term, it's so ecumenical. You have people of all ages. You have black, you have white, you have Hispanic, you have Asian. I mean, they're all, and everybody's just together, all having a good time.
It's a great melting pot.
It is the ultimate Philadelphia melting pot. I agree with that.
Okay. And you can go there any time of day, and it's genuine. You know, they've tried to redo this kind of thing in other cities. Like when I was in Seattle, everybody said, oh, Pike Market, you got to go there, right? So that's the place where you always see them throwing fish. Just like every shot of Philadelphia, they're chopping the cheesesteaks. Every time they have a big game in Seattle, you see them throwing the fish right at the Pike's Market.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there, and it's okay, but it's not one-tenth of what Reading Terminal Market is because it is a tourist spot. Reading Terminal Market is a place that you can send tourists, but if you live here, you still love it.
Yep.
But that wasn't what I – here's my question for you.
Oh.
Because it relates to cheesesteaks. Am I a heathen because I prefer a chicken cheesesteak to a beef cheesesteak? And you know I'm a fan of cow.
Mm-hmm.
I eat beef a lot. Mm-hmm. This is not like me being healthy.
I was going to say, is this health-driven?
No, I just think it tastes better.
Really?
I do. I prefer a chicken cheesesteak to a beef.
Hmm.
Onions, mushrooms.
Hmm. Well, I know some people that do. I mean, you're not alone in that.
You're not among them.
No, okay. I'm a beef cheesesteak person. Okay. I think now there's some, they really vary in quality all throughout the city. And some of the,
trust me, you know, Ray, I ate 45 of them once in 45 days.
And, you know, I'm born and raised here, so I've sampled them everywhere. And I don't think I've missed many places. And, you know, some are not so great. Some are kind of okay. But the really good ones are really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've had the chicken cheesesteaks just to try them, and they're good. I mean, if sort of in a pinch, and that's all that I got, again, I can enjoy one of those. But if I have the choice, yeah, I'll go for a regular cheesesteak.
I know this is an unpopular food opinion that I hold, but I will hold it. And by the way, I would take a roast pork over either of them, but that's a separate issue.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay. Let me get a call, and then we'll talk about the other thing. Thanks for covering that with me. Wes, you're on with Ray and Glenn.
Ray, Glenn, how are you guys doing today?
Hey, Wes.
So, first, before I get into it, depending on where I'm at, sometimes chicken cheesesteak, sometimes beef. It just depends on the spot that I'm at.
Fair
so
enough.
You're not weird on that.
Okay.
All right, so Ben Simmons has got to go. You know, everybody wants to blame Brett Brown for everything that's going on. You're only as good as the players you're coaching. If you go and look at the Eagles going into Carson's second year, Doug got better, but what else got better? Carson worked on his mechanics. He worked on his timing. You know, he got the ball out quicker. This only works if the players are evolving just like the coaches. Ben's not working on his shot. And my second point on that is he's just not a Philly guy. And what I mean by that is some people just understand what this city is like. You don't have to be the best. You don't have to put up the best numbers, but you have to give it your all. And you have to try. That's why you look at, like, Buddy Ryan, who's more popular than Andy Reid, and he never won a playoff game. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Some guys just get it, and some guys don't. I don't think Ben gets it. And Ben should be thanking the Lord up high that Markelle Fultz came along, because had he never come along, we'd have been talking about his jump shot a whole lot more than we are now.
He did take some of the shade. But don't you believe, or do you believe, that Eagles fans, and obviously there's tremendous crossover because most people are fans of both, but as a rule, the way Eagles fans look at their team and their players' coaches is different than the way Sixers fans do?
I don't think so at all.
No?
I mean, you know, you look at Allen Iverson, that guy never won anything, but he comes back. He was a Cowboys fan, for Christ's sakes, but he comes back and we love him. And, you know, you look at all the Phillies players.
Well,
like,
you're right.
In that sense,
Allen was that. Good call. Thank you. Allen was, if you look at the athletes that we love, right? Mm-hmm. Geez, I wrote a whole book on this, and you've covered this stuff your whole life. We there's certain types that we love. And one type that we love, Allen fits too. We love the little tough guy.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy McDonald, Larry Boa, Allen Iverson. You know, he may not have a lot of stature, but he's going to come up and spit in your face and fight you for everything.
Right.
Okay. We love that guy and always have. We love the gritty, going to play, going to get knocked down, going to get back up guy,
mm-hmm.
which there's clearly crossover in that with the first guy I said. But we love that guy who's going to end the game with blood under his fingernails and then broken nose.
Yep.
We love that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where Ben fits in with any of that. I mean, there's other types that we love. We love the guy who's going to pound you in the next year, the Dave Schultz, Reggie White, that guy.
Seth Joyner. Right.
Yeah, we love that guy.
Yep. It seems to be a caricature, almost bordering cliche. I mean, because it's true. It really is. And not to say that those types of athletes or characteristics would be unpopular anywhere. People would admire that in any fan base, but it is more true here. It really is. People in this town, they really, the effort thing and the try hard thing and the never quit and that whole sort of thing is really kind of what, it really does play into Philadelphia's self-identity.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a super talented person who comes in much heralded with sort of everything handed to you and you kind of carry yourself with the sort of aloofness that Ben does, you're going to have trouble winning these fans over. Unless you win them over by the most obvious way, which is winning the whole thing. You know, then you become recast as something else entirely.
Right.
But short of that, then that becomes something that people are going to look at and say, I don't know if this guy's got the commitment. I don't know if this guy's got the heart. I don't know if this guy's got the desire. And I'm sure he has tremendous desire. He wouldn't be where he is right now if he didn't work hard at this. But, I mean, the fact that there's such an obvious hole in his game and he has done so little to address it over a period of time is something that you look at and you say, what? Why?
But isn't this – I think this seems to be the first time this generation of Sixers fans has shown impatience, right? Because
well, there were no expectations before now.
Well, okay, right. But so – and they wanted it to work so much that I think they've been kind of overlooking issues for the last couple of years, okay? So just to review it, they decided they, Sam Hinkie, and listen, these fans bought in, decided we're not going to win this with the guy, with, you know, the guys we have, with Thad and that group, right? Michael Carter Williams, that, so we're just going to get rid of all that, and we're going to start it all over. We're going to stink, but we're going to land these draft picks. And, you know, some of them work out, clearly, and some of them don't work out. But this fan base, I think, bought in so hard and wants it to work so much, and in a sense, some of it to prove Hinkie right, in a sense, some of it just because they embraced the process, so they had a lot of patience with it.
Yeah, and they paid the price for it.
They paid the price for it. They went to see a lot of awful games.
Right.
And had a few false idols along the way.
Mm-hmm.
That they have, I don't know when the last time these people booed is. Right?
Yeah.
Eagles fans booed throughout. Phillies fans will let you know it.
Yep.
Flyers fans were late to the game. Oh, but they're there now.
They are now.
They're sick and tired of that organization.
Right.
But these Sixers fans, this group of Sixers fans, they, and again, I know a lot of this is vast generalizations. I don't want to base it off of, you know, a half a dozen calls we get on any given day. But Ben Simmons' issues are not, didn't just develop yesterday.
No.
You know, no. Ben Simmons' refusal to take a shot, it's not new.
No. But what you're saying is, I mean, you've put your finger on it really here, is that the city, the fans, and all the people that are really Sixers fans that have been with this whole process are at this point so invested in it. They are so invested in it, yeah, that it's hard for them now to back away.
Yeah.
You know, or to point to a guy who's the real centerpiece of it, as Simmons is, and say, wait a minute, you know, this isn't working. They don't want to admit that. If even if they really feel that, they're not ready to admit that.
Right. Right. By the way, we're gonna move your football draft report to the next segment, but I do have an Eagles issue I want to get to you.
Okay.
By the way, I think the NFL schedule is supposed to come out this Tuesday or Wednesday.
Really?
The regular season schedule is supposed to come out this week, I heard.
Wow. I always thought it came after the draft.
That's what I thought. I read something that's supposed to come out this week.
Oh, okay.
I'll look it up during the break and see if I'm wrong.
Oh, all right. I guess I'll be getting that call from Angelo again. Okay.
He's going. Say to again?
Going to
yeah, it's me. Coming this week.
Wow. I'm going to have to come on and
win.
And, okay.
Loss.
All right. Open at
that's
home.
That's your least favorite thing.
Open at home with the Giants. All right. Win.
Right, week 14 against Cincinnati. What do you see?
God,
I know how much you hate
God,
that.
God, I hate that
I
so
know,
much.
I know, it's just an exercise that people do.
I hate that
doesn't
so much.
Doesn't mean anything. You just do it for giggles.
Yeah.
Okay? But that wasn't where I was going.
So it is. Oh, I have that to look forward to.
Which is nice.
Which is nice.
Okay, the preseason schedule came out, although not the dates.
We don't know the dates.
Right, which I'm kind of waiting to see because I base my entire summer vacation on when I have to be here for those.
I know you do.
I know. So I'd like to see that. But nonetheless, week two, the Eagles play the Jags in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
Ray, if ever a preseason game would have attracted a crowd, and I know they sell the tickets anyway as part of the thing, but would have attracted some interest, it would be having Nick Foles back in Philadelphia
sure.
for a preseason game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we're not getting him for a regular season game, and I don't know when Jacksonville's next on the schedule. I don't know Nick Foles' future. But to have him back here during the preseason where everybody, it's like, you don't care if the Eagles win. Nick Foles is here. You could get up and cheer for him and give him that ovation mm-hmm. that everybody would love.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how the scheduling is done, but for God's sakes, that's one that just seems like, you call up the owner of Jacksonville, what's his name? Shea, I forget his name. The guy with the big mustache,
yeah.
the right? You call him up and you say, hey, listen, make you a deal. You give us that game, we'll give you something else. Sixth-round pick. Shahid Khan, that's his name. That game's got to be here.
Should be.
Yeah.
Should
disappointed.
Be. Yeah. I mean, the Eagles have, let's see, their first one, their first preseason game is at home against Tennessee. Then the second
they do.
Then the second one is, well, do the deal. You'll get to see Do the Deal. So that's
you still
that's,
have that T-shirt.
That's week one. No, I don't still have that T-shirt.
Okay.
I don't still have that.
Yeah.
So that's week one. Then week two is is Jacksonville, but it's in Jacksonville.
Right.
Where, I mean, it won't have anywhere near the panache that it would have had here. It would have been so great to have
him. He'll only play maybe a quarter, but I would love it.
Yeah, maybe two series.
Uh-huh.
But just have him come out and get that ovation. That would have been, and there are very few, in the preseason, there are very few things you could call moments.
There's never a storyline.
There's never like a moment in the preseason. That would have been a moment.
Yes,
and it's a shame that we're not going to get that opportunity.
Right, week three, they're the Ravens. Either the Ravens, or Pittsburgh. It's always the Ravens, always week four is always against
it's the Jets,
which is the worst pro sporting event of the year.
It sure is.
Yeah,
it sure is. And I think this year it's up in New York. I think the Baltimore. Yeah, in fact, Baltimore. Thank I know God is. Baltimore is here week three because Baltimore, the Ravens are doing that thing where they're coming up and they're going to practice here all week.
Oh, good. Fist fights.
Where the Eagles and the Ravens will have practice together for like 3 days. Then they'll play the game.
Right.
So that's week three. And then the final week, yes, it's at the Jets, which is the game that always is the worst game of the year.
One other thing I wanted to tell you is that our friend Bernie Parent underwent surgery this past week.
Oh, boy, I know his back's been killing him.
Yeah, so he's been having back problems, and they particularly got worse. Bernie and his wife were in a car accident 6 months ago, maybe.
Yeah, and, really bad. They're lucky to be here.
I know. We saw him. I think you were with me. We saw him the next night. He was pretty bruised up.
Mm-hmm.
Came to a charity event I was in, which is very nice, and he was pretty bruised up. But he had 6 hours of surgery. Lumbar decompression fusion surgery, two rods inserted, six screws, and I talked to him that night. It was it Monday? It was Monday or Tuesday night, and I called him that night. It was Monday, and I called him like around 7:30, and he answered the phone. He said, "How are you doing?" He said, "Great. I have a 9 a.m. tea time tomorrow morning." He's the best. He is the best. So wish Bernie all the best in his recovery.
He is a rare one. He really is.
He's the nicest superstar I've ever met.
Yeah, I can't think of one I put ahead of him.
He is. He simply is. 888-729-9494. You know what? I'm going to sneak in this guy because I want to begin the next segment with the draft. So let's get Jimmy up here. Jimmy, you're on with Ray and Glenn.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
All right.
Great to listen to you. Glenn, I have a question for you, and Ray, one for you. Glenn, who's the next Flyers coach? I know they got permission to speak to Alain Vigneault, however you say his French wine last name.
Yeah.
But
Boudreaux, Bilsma.
Yeah, I think Bilsma looks like he's going to be he's the head, because I know Cliff Fletcher had him
right.
In the AHL. And, Ray, I have a question for you. My friend's son, his name is Evan Butts. He's a tight end, University of Virginia. What have you heard from him as far as the draft? He had a great junior year, but I think Mendenhall did not utilize him as a good tight end his senior year. But he's an All-American academic. He's a great kid. He's a local boy also. So have you heard anything about him, what his possibilities are for the draft?
I think he's probably I think he's looking at day three. Yeah.
That's good.
I mean,
that's
the last day of the draft.
Well, it's still kind of good news because he didn't get to go to any of the senior bowl games, and his junior year he had 36 targets with 32 catches and no drop balls. And this year, I think they again, like I said, they didn't utilize him. But that's good. I want to relay that to my buddy. It was good to hear. And Glenn, my wife is completely excited about tonight at 9 o'clock, whatever time that show comes on. So I'm going to have some free time.
Wait,
tonight.
She sorry. Watches and you don't.
Glenn, you tried to get me into it. I couldn't get into it, my friend. I'm sorry. I just couldn't get into it.
Thank you. It's rare, I would imagine, in a household where the woman watches it and not the man. Because it is definitely a show written for adolescent boys in all of us. My wife loves it, not as much as I love it. But there you go. 888-729-9494. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now on 94 WIP. All right, Ray, before we get to the NFL draft preview, you've been doing the show today with one eye on the Masters tournament. I'm hoping that you can give us a little Masters review here.
Okay. This is an unprecedented final round of the Masters in two ways. Number one, you have the leaders teeing off at 9 o'clock in the morning, which never happens for TV purposes. They always stack it so that the leaders are going off late, which they go off like around 4. They go off like around 1 o'clock, and then they play up till 6 or so. But because of the dire weather forecast down in Augusta for later this afternoon, they've moved everything up. So all the leaders went off at 9 o'clock this morning. So they are on the course now. And the other thing that's unprecedented.
So much for that 6 p.m. drama that you
mentioned before. Yes, you don't have that, 5 p.m., 6 p.m. drama, which may affect the TV ratings, I don't know. But the other part is that you're on the final day of Augusta, you're playing threesomes as opposed to twosomes. And they're also, it's threesomes because they can move them through the course a little bit quicker. So for all of those reasons, it's a final day at Augusta unlike any other. But the big thing and the big story.
Jim Nance now?
How about that?
Final day unlike any other.
Final day unlike any other. But the story that everybody's following, obviously, is Tiger Woods, who began today in the hunt to win his fifth green jacket. And
He's one down.
Okay. He's not playing great. He had a couple bogeys. And amazingly, the fifth hole, which is 495-yard par four, that's a long par four. But he bogeyed it today for the fourth straight day. I'm amazed that a hole that just plays to length, it's a very straightforward hole. It's just really long. A guy's as big a hitter as Woods, I wouldn't expect him to bogey that hole 4 days in a row, but he did. He also had another bogey. And Francisco Molinari, who was leading coming into this, is still leading, but only by one shot. But Molinari is a tough cookie. I'm a mentally tough guy. And I know a lot of guys in this spot. There's obviously the crowd is hugely behind Tiger. You saw yesterday the crowd roaring every time he made a birdie. There are a lot of guys going head-to-head with Woods with that kind of a home field advantage kind of thing that he's got going would have trouble dealing with it. Molinari doesn't worry about that kind of stuff. I've seen him in these kinds of things before that he is just one of these super focused guys that he just plays the course. He just plays the next shot. He doesn't worry about that. And it's evidenced by his record in the Ryder Cup. He's never lost a match in the Ryder Cup. So I don't think he's going to, like, buckle under the specter of Tiger Woods. And right now, to this point, I think he just had one bogey. He lost one stroke to par for the first time since Thursday.
Yep.
But at this point,
close.
They haven't made the turn yet. They haven't made the turn yet, but it's still one stroke. So this is going to be pretty dramatic.
Good job, Ray. But now it is time for the Ray Dinger College Football Draft Preview.
All right, well, I am going to move on to day two of my sleeper picks. And anybody that knows how this works, I've been doing this since Teddy Bruschi came out of Arizona. He was part of my first sleeper class, and I've been doing it every year.
Is that 95, 96?
That would have been 96, I believe. Yeah, 96, Teddy Bruschi. And then Jason Taylor, who's, by the way, now in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty good sleeper right there. I don't know if any of these guys are going to go to the Hall of Fame, but I'm going to give you three. I'm going to slip a fourth one in there just for chuckles here. My first one, do you want the wide receiver? Do you want
I want the wide receiver. I want the Eagles to draft a wide receiver.
All righty. I will give you a wide receiver, and his name is Jalen Hurd, and he's from Baylor. And you may remember him from a few years ago. He started his college career at Tennessee. And he was a running back at Tennessee, and he was actually at Tennessee as a running back. He was playing ahead of Alvin Kamara, who's going on to become a very fine player in New Orleans. This guy was starting. Kamara was his backup. He got into a kerfluffle with the coaches and decided he was going to leave. He was going to leave Tennessee, and he transfers to Baylor. And he goes to Baylor, and they've made him into a receiver down there. He's 6'4", he's almost 6'5", he's 230 pounds, and he still runs a 4.6 40. The one thing about him is he's still learning how to play the receiver position, and he's got a lot of work to do there. He's basically looks like a running back who's learning how to play a new position, but boy, he has talent. He's got size, he's got long arms, he's got good hands. Was a 1,000-yard rusher at Tennessee, so he can obviously run after the catch. But very limited experience as a wide receiver. But he's got the size that he could be almost a wide receiver slash tight end kind of player. There's an awful lot of upside here. You're going to have to be a little patient with him because he's still learning the position. But I think he's worth a pick. And he's probably not going to go till day three because he's a hard guy to sort of characterize or pigeonhole.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got the talent. And that's my sleeper number one is Jalen Hurd, wide receiver from Baylor.
All right.
Okay, number two. This guy was a fullback at West Virginia, and obviously nobody plays a fullback in the NFL anymore. They hardly do. So this guy makes him a funny draft pick. Where are you going to fit him in? I actually think he's a guy that you could make into a tight end H-back kind of player. And you can always find room for those guys. I saw him playing when he was at West Virginia this year. There's an awful lot there. His name is Trevon Wesco. Mm-hmm. He's 6'3", 270 pounds. They played him at fullback. They played him at tight end. They played him at some H-back. I really like the fact that he can run routes, he can catch the ball, and he's a really, really good blocker. Every game I saw him play, I mean, he was making some catches, but he was pancake. He had four or five pancake blocks in every single game, which makes me think that he can make the tight end switch very, very easily. He had 24 reps on the bench press at the combine, so he's obviously got a lot of strength. I saw a tape of a game he played against TCU where he was just really kicking butt. At West Virginia, they used to talk about his blocks as the Wesco wagon because he left so many people laying in the dirt. So he's a guy that I think he has to go to the right team with the right coaching staff that can be a little creative and find a way to use him. But I saw the West Virginia coach said that he thought that he was the second best overall athlete on his entire football team last year. So he's probably going to be a third day pick, but he's a guy that I think has a lot of value. The other one, I'm going to go defense now. I'm going to go to the defensive line, and this guy's name is Rennell Wren. And I saw him. I was watching Rennell Wren, R-E-N-E-L-L, and his last name is W-R-E-N. I was watching an Arizona State game because I wanted to check in on my old friend Herm Edwards, who was back coaching at Arizona State. And I saw this defensive lineman, and I said, who is this guy? I had never heard of him. I watched him, and he's got an awful lot of ability. Arizona State is not exactly known for turning out defensive players, because that isn't exactly what they've done in a while. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been a long time since Terrell Suggs, okay? That's 2003. Wow. Yes. And so they haven't really turned out a blue-chip defensive player in a long time. And this guy's not the finished product either. I mean, he's got some rough edges to him. But he's 6'4 and a half, 315 pounds, and ran a 4.940 at the combine, so he can move it. He can use better technique. He needs to learn to be better at shedding the blocks. But he's got some ability. He can play the run, and I think he can develop into a decent pass rusher. He needs to give you, I think, a more consistent effort, but certainly Herm Edwards got more out of him than most coaches had up to this point. So I think if he gets into a team now, he may be a guy that's going to be on your practice squad at the start of the season, but he certainly has the frame, and he certainly has the strength to convert to the playing in the NFL. And the other guy I'm going to tell you about
bonus.
I'm going to slip you in another one here. And this guy is not only a player that you've never heard of, Glenn, I'm going to tell you he comes from a college you've never heard of. And this is Malone University.
Malone University. Malone, M-A-L-O-N-E?
Yep, like Moses Malone. Malone University.
Where is that?
The only reason I know about it is it's just down the street from the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. I've driven by it many times.
Okay.
It's an evangelical school. It's a religious school.
What level division do they play?
It's a low division two. Okay. And they're not particularly good. I mean, even playing at that level this year, they were 2-8. But they have a player, and they've never sent a guy to the pros in any sport, okay? But they have a player named Ashton Doolin, who's a wide receiver.
How'd you find this guy?
Huh?
How'd you find this?
Because he played in an all-star game at the end of the year. There's an all-star game that's been created called the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl.
Okay.
And it's a Players Association all-star game that kind of collects all of these guys from these small schools that would never get a chance to showcase their ability, and they all get to play in a game. And this guy was invited, and he was terrific. He was really, really good. He's incredibly fast. He ran a sub 4.440. At this point, it's all straight line speed. He's not a very good route runner at this point, but he can really run. He's got size. He's 6'1". He can really catch the ball. He's really is a track man. He went to that college basically as a track man, and he set all kinds of conference records in every event from sprints to hurdles. But he started playing football, and he made tremendous progress. So now this is a guy that is a purely, at this point, a developmental player. If you draft him this year, you're not even thinking about him dressing this year. I mean, he's a guy that's going to go to the practice squad, and you're going to spend a year working with him. Mm-hmm. But he's got the talent if you spend some time with him, you teach him how to play the game, you might find something.
There you go. Ray, we're going to go over these again next week so that we can get ourselves ready for the draft and We get back, we can take a call or two. We still got those tickets to give away. So if you call us in the next 2 minutes, there's a very good chance you can win those Phillies tickets. And then, Ray, you're leaving at the top of the hour. I got leading off, headed up to Phillies baseball. Phillies, Marlins, you sure don't want to lose a series to the Marlins.
No.
888-729-9494 with Ray Dinger. I'm Glenn Mack. Now, hey, are you sick and tired of dealing with those old, inefficient windows in your house? Maybe it's time to go Gaida. How about that drafty, beat-up-looking entry door that you painted over more times than you can count? Go Gaida. If you need added protection from the elements with a new storm door, go Gaida. What about that sliding patio door, garage door you've been meaning to replace? Go Gaida. Whatever your home improvement needs are, I suggest you go Gaida with the good with my good friends at Gaida Door and Window. To help you get your project started, Gaida is offering 20% off all windows and doors while allowing you to start your project with no money down, up to 3 full years to pay them off interest-free. That's right. Receive 20% instant savings with the luxury of paying off your project interest-free for up to 36 months. Offers for a limited time only, so what are you waiting for? Time you finally go Gaida. Call today. Schedule a free in-home estimate at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit them at GoGuida.com. That's Go, G-U-I-D-A.com. Ray Didger, Glenn Mack now, 888-729-9494. Ray's going to be leaving the top of the hour. We got leading off, Phillies against the Marlins coming up, 105 start down in Miami. Ray, it's the old rubber game of the series.
Yeah, well, as you know, you weren't going to win every game against the Marlins this year, but you don't want to lose a series.
Correct.
So, yeah, I mean, they got to go out and win this game.
Vince Velasquez, I'm seeing 8 1/3 big innings.
I wouldn't go that far.
In his next 3 starts combined. Let's talk to Mark. Mark, you're with Ray and Glenn. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Sixers. Yeah, some of your past callers really hit the nail on the head. Ben Simmons, if you go back and watch a documentary of him on Showtime,
yeah,
played exactly yesterday and in other big games like he did at LSU. There's a caller that mentioned that an hour or so ago. 100% right. When the game is on the line, crunch time, he wants no part of doing anything offensively. It's amazing. Like, once in a while, if he has a layup or a dunk, he'll do it, but nothing else. And it's, I don't know how you're going to build around this guy and win with this guy long term. And then the Sixers, you had another caller. You ever see J.J. Redick come off a non-ball screen? Have you ever seen that where they're setting screens for him? Maybe they'll dribble to the left and they're screening for him on the other side of the court. You ever see J.J. Redick running off baseline screens off Embiid? Or I never see it.
Ray, I'm sensing dribble, a lot of discontent.
So am I.
I see dribble handoffs. I see ball screens. I don't see non-ball screens for him or Tobias Harris, your two best pure shooters. You know, for those guys to combine for 9 points yesterday is a disgrace.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah, and they miss shots. I get it. They miss shots. But Brooklyn is doing the exact same thing that the Celtics did to the Sixers defensively.
Well, they did. Yeah. And it is one game. And we will, you know what?
True.
It really is. We'll find out what Brett Brown's got.
Yeah.
Because he's got till tomorrow. Yeah.
Glenn, the bottom line is, I just talked offense, right? Defensively, the Sixers are bad.
Yeah.
They're slow. That's how you beat them. You just spread the court out.
Hold on. Hold on. I hear an announcement coming. Go on.
Mark, you're the winner of the Phillies tickets. You've hit on everything.
Oh.
There you go.
All right. You want to go see the Phillies on Wednesday?
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
There you go.
He did hit every sour note.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's, all the discontent kind of revolves around Ben Simmons. But I can't get over the fact that Harris plays 40 minutes and gets 7 shots. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of it, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they lost this game for a lot of reasons, Ben Simmons being perhaps the most obvious, but it's not all about him. I mean, if you're a player of Harris's ability and you play 40 minutes and you only get 7 shots, you haven't exactly done your part either.
No, and it's also a lot about the coach. And you and I were talking off-air earlier. The owner, for whatever reason yesterday, decided to call a news conference right before the game, right before game 1 of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's never a good idea.
Right. where he's kind of asked to clarify remarks suggesting whether or not Brett Brown could get fired if this team doesn't advance further in the playoffs than it did. And he kind of talks around the issue. Oh, we have a lot of confidence in Brett. We're proud of what we've done this season. But really, for us, the season starts now, is what he said.
Hmm.
Right. So what do you infer from that?
Playing for his job.
Yeah.
Right.
And he may be, and I'm not saying it's wrong that Brett Brown is coaching for his job, but why would, if you're the owner, why in the world would you decide we need this distraction before game one of the playoffs?
Yeah.
This guy, this guy Harris is, I've never liked this guy. I got to tell you, Ray, I've never liked this owner.
Well, you've,
not for
you've,
a minute.
You've said that before.
Yes, not for 1 minute.
Well, part of it is the dual ownership thing.
Yeah, he owns the Devils.
Right.
Yeah, that's part of it. I think he's a phony. Let's get Steve up here. Steve, you're on with Ray and Glenn. Hello,
hey,
Steve.
Fellas. Hey, fellas. Big fan. Listen to you guys every morning.
Thank you.
Well, every morning you're on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I own a pizzeria, and I'm in the middle of hunting for an address.
Okay.
Ray, I saw the original.
Where's your pizzeria?
Allentown.
Oh, yeah? What's the name of it?
Parma. I've been there for 22 years.
Nice.
Very nice.
All right. Next time I'm in Allentown, I'll look you up.
Sounds good. I think you'll enjoy the pizza.
All right.
Yeah. I saw the original Star is Born last night. Me and the wife.
When you say the original, which is the original?
37.
Oh, that is, I believe that is the original, Ray.
It is the original.
The 1937 version. Of
yeah,
Star is
yeah.
Born. He watched last
oh,
night.
Oh, okay. So you did.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It was good. I got to be honest. I saw the you know Star is Born with Kris Kristofferson and Barbra Streisand. Hadn't seen it since I was young.
All right. So how do you rank the three of them?
I'll be honest. The latest is my favorite.
I agree.
I mean, it was unbelievable.
I'm with
unbelievable.
You.
That's very good. I agree.
I saw Shape of Water.
I thought
no.
the oh no don't please don't go there. Glenn was just flipping through the channels here trying to find the Masters and came across couldn't get to the Masters but he found Shape of Water on one of the cable channels.
That is the worst movie ever. I appreciate that. Anyway, that's not why you called. You want some Phillies talk?
Yeah, man, I'm a big Phillies fan. I was at the 2007 last game when Brett Myers is walking out to close, and they flashed the Mets score.
Yeah.
I was right behind in first place.
Yeah.
I still get goosebumps.
Tom Glavine
got
racked
that
day.
And I thought that this was the kind of season I would have, and it's a little disappointing. Look, I know it's patient, but you can't have a loss like that yesterday. And this is the second time in less than a week.
It was not good.
It's
but listen, it's yeah, it, but baseball's not football. You can't look at any one game and draw big conclusions. They are still, were they 9-6?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm a Sixers fan, and they're still fun to watch, but, I mean, they crapped the bed yesterday. I mean, it's not fun to watch when they play like that. It just isn't fun.
That was an awful game, and thanks for your call, and we'll get out there and get some pizza sometime. I kept thinking yesterday with the Sixers, like, okay, they got to flip the switch now. And as you said, late in the first half, they started making a run in the second quarter. It's like, this can be fine.
Yeah, and Butler hit the three at the buzzer.
Right.
I thought that's it. You know, okay, they played lousy for a half, but okay, they finally found that they got some momentum. The second half, they're going to come out and take charge. Did not.
Never did.
Never did.
Yeah. Before we end this show, and you're leaving around the top of the hour, I did want a couple things I wanted to run by you. You and I doing this show almost 2 years ago. And I remember it was April 2017, and we were at the Delaware Park Racetrack and Casino.
Okay.
And we got a call from Ed Rendell.
Yes.
And he said, was he still governor then? I forget if he was still governor then. But whatever. He's a man of influence then, as he is now.
No, I don't. He was not the governor.
He was done being governor. Okay. That's right, 2016.
We've had two administrations.
That's right. That's right. It all clogs up. Anyway, he said to us at the time, and I don't remember how we got into it, that Philadelphia was bidding to become the official city of the 250th anniversary of the United States of America, which is in 2026.
I remember that.
Yes. There is a name for that. I want to see if I can find what it was. Here it is. It is the semi-quincentennial. That's going to roll right off the tongue.
Yeah, put that on a T-shirt.
Oh, you remember the bicentennial. Everybody got that one. This is the semi-quincentennial anniversary of the United States.
Right.
Okay. And he said, we want to get everything. Well, I don't know if we're going to get everything, but it was announced this past week that we did get the 2026 Major League All-Star Game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're talking 7 years down the road, so, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing an older Bryce Harper and Rhys Hoskins bat third and fourth in that All-Star Game.
Mm-hmm.
But probably most of the guys playing aren't going to be there. I have no idea where I'm going to be, but I'm still excited about it. You?
Yes. Yeah, I've been here for the other All-Star games, and it's great. I mean, it's great to have your city be the host of one of those events. I love it when that stuff comes to Philadelphia. I loved it when the NFL draft came to Philadelphia.
That was terrific.
Yeah, to see
that was fun.
Yeah, you know, to see the city on display for all the people in the country, I think it's a great thing, because we spend so much time here talking about the knocks that Philadelphia takes and that the fans take, and this, you know, the national perception of Philadelphia as a sports city. Anything we can do to answer that, anything we can do to stage an event and stage it with real class and pull it off well, NFL draft being a classic example of that, then I'm all for it. So, yeah, absolutely. Bring it on.
Okay. So that year, 76, I was before I moved here, but we got the Major League All-Star Game, the NBA All-Star Game, and the NHL All-Star Game, all three of them?
Yes.
Yeah, that's nice. It's a good start.
Mm-hmm.
When we talked to Rendell, he said, we're going to get Super Bowl 60.
That was on the drawing board. That's part of the plan. Lori is fully behind that, is trying to get a Super Bowl here.
And you know, I'm unlike you. I favor that.
I don't even know.
Admit it. You don't like it.
I don't even know if I would go there. I don't even know if I would go there.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, just the idea of what you'd be talking about, playing a football game in Philadelphia in February.
Yeah, yes.
I mean, I love the idea of the Super Bowl being here.
Yes. It's football, Ray, the elements, you of all people. This is where you've always disappointed me. Because everything else, you're like Mr. Old School, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, let's play the Super Bowl like a real football game where there might be elements. There's just that possibility, and you're like, no, weather has to be pristine.
Now, I would always prefer, it's one game for the whole championship. I like the playing conditions to be fair for both teams.
Yeah, what do you think of the Ice Bowl?
Hmm?
What do you think of the Ice Bowl?
It was a great game.
Yeah, there you go. What do you think of that game where Tommy McDonald caught a pass slipped in the snow?
It was highlight of my youth.
All right, so?
But.
Is there a but?
But you also have the other games. You have that game in Cincinnati when you had Don Coryell with one of the great offenses of all time,
yeah,
that went into Cincinnati on a day when it was 40 below and had no chance. No chance to win the game. Championship game shouldn't be like that.
Oh, I don't know. Okay, so just real quickly, because I got to let you out of here. What other events could tie into this? Could we get another U.S. Open? I don't know how far in advance they set that. I mean, we're talking 7 years down the road, so, right? The one at Marion, that was pretty cool.
Oh, it was very cool. Yeah, Marion's hosted them before.
What else?
Aronimink has hosted never an open, but a PGA.
They got World Cup that year. Could we get some soccer?
Maybe.
Trying to think what else.
I think
WrestleMania. I mean, I'll take whatever's out there. I'd love every, you know, once a month for a year, we get the big event.
Yeah.
It'd be very good.
Yeah, it would be. I'm all for that. I guess they've, with Final Four, I mean, that's probably determined.
No, we don't have the place for that. I mean, where you can play the final. We don't have a dome.
Yeah.
They're not going to play the Final Four in
Wells Fargo.
No.
Yeah.
Might get a regional. We get a regional.
Yeah, that's attainable. Yeah, maybe you get the East Regional.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Final Four has become like a football stadium event
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be I'm looking forward to. I don't know where I'll be and what I'll be doing.
Oh, come on. You and I will still be
doing
this.
We will be. Ray, let me tell you something.
We will be.
I'm in.
I'm almost sure.
All right, I got to let you go, Ray. It's always a pleasure. You have a great week.
You too.
We are going to come back and give you some Phil's leading off right here on 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.